Well, the title of my split sermon this afternoon is Humility is Needed Today. As we are celebrating the Fall Holy Days, the trumpets has just passed, Atonement coming on Monday, and the feast, as Mr. Wendt just said, a week from today, and the eighth day, all of these Fall Holy Days are very moving and inspiring and very purposeful time for God's people. The vast majority of mankind still continues to be deceived, and we know that Satan plays a huge part in that. But they will eventually come to know God's truth. God chooses various events in our life to teach us a lesson intended for us to remember and to grow spiritually from events that are occurring in our life. If you would, turn to James chapter 4. In verse 10 of James 4, we read, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." And I have found that if you look at things that are going on in the world today, we don't see a whole lot of humility out there. A lot of anger, a lot of distrust, a lot of Satan's ways being broadcast. But a parallel scripture to James 4, verse 10, let's turn over to 2 Chronicles 7. In verse 14, here we read, "If my people," that's all of us, "if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We know that everything in the Bible is true because it's God's Word. And He preserved this information for us to learn from, all the different examples that have come before us. But here we see in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it talks about praying, where we acknowledge our sins to God, seeking God's holiness and His forgiveness. We're to seek God's face, meaning we're to set aside distractions. And there are so many distractions in this world that's keeping us from fulfilling things that we're to be accomplishing on a daily basis, and we're to be overcoming that. And also turning from our wicked ways, meaning we need to be changing our life. We're to be changing our heart and our mind, putting it more towards God and His ways. And we should not be lifting ourselves up or exalting ourselves, nor should we be exhibiting that type of prideful attitude. We're to have a little child's attitude. And that's one thing I really appreciate about the blessing of the children. You have those examples, that blessing of seeing the young children as they're being blessed, and that type of attitude. In Matthew chapter 18, because God is looking for this from us, to have that little child's attitude. In Matthew 18, starting in verse 1 through 4, "So at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said," Christ speaking, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And we need to be working on that every day of our life, to have that humility, to be humble before God and before our neighbors and our brothers and sisters. Because we know that God has called us. He's the one that does the calling. And he's the one that's placed us here in his church, in his family. And through his Holy Spirit, he lives within us. And we're to be using that, his Holy Spirit, to guide and direct us. Because he has constantly said, even in the time of Moses and Joshua, that it's not the righteousness and goodness of ourselves. We don't have that. God is the one who gives that to us. It's God's righteousness and goodness that is shown to us. If you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, and we should know that this to us should be a daily aspect of our life. Because as newborn babes, we're to long for the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that, the Lord is gracious, the Lord is kind, to whom coming as unto a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. To be laying aside all malice and deceit, to moving in the direction that God wants us to do, an attitude of desiring, deeply desiring the Word of God and learning what He says, believing and letting Him direct us, desiring Him to reveal more each day of His spiritual meaning from the Scriptures that we continue to study. That's one thing I have found with these Zoom meetings that Mr. Wendt holds for the Bible study, for the booklet reviews, has been very helpful. I know for myself, very helpful. Information that, whether we've known it or heard about it in the past, but there are things that God keeps revealing through His Word, through His study. Something new is clicking all the time, being revealed by God to us. Because there's just so much noise and clutter in this world. It's occurring all around us. Satan is there stirring that pot. Stirring his pot of wickedness and deceitfulness on mankind. And he's trying to push us into that, to get us mixed up into the current. There's no humility being shown by nations or people today. I mean, look at the articles in the paper, look at the magazines, look at YouTube, whatever you want to look at. But Satan knows that his time is getting shorter. And there's just so much anger, so much anger. Webster definition of the word humility can also be described as meekness. And we know in Galatians 5, one of the fruits of the Spirit is meekness. Well, anger is a signal that we need to check the quality of our humility. But when you get right down to it, anger is a signal that we need to check the quality of every fruit of God's Spirit, that we are to be making a part of our life, our heart and mind. And we need to be keeping anger out of our life. You know, humility is a state of being humble. And humble is not proud or arrogant, modest. And one definition of humble that I found very interesting, especially when you're looking at the reports that are coming and bombarding us, it says to be courteously respectful. Have you seen very much of that courteously respectful? I haven't. I'm sure there are people out there that have that type of attitude, but that's not what's being broadcast to us. But we know it's there. If you would turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Here we're told to put off certain things. But now you also put off all these, not just one or two of them, but all. It starts with anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Continues on in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. I know it's very hard when you hear reports. There's that something within us that just, you know, that we don't like it. But we have to come to a point where we understand that Satan is behind this. And the people that are involved are deceived. But they will eventually know God's way. We cannot hate the people. We need to hate the sin of what's being broadcast in this world. And to pray for God's kingdom to come soon. Because our time, Satan knows that his time is getting shorter, but we need to also understand that our time of being ready for Christ's return is getting shorter as well, day by day. Are we going to be ready when Christ returns? I mean, if something was to happen to us when we walk out those doors, that's the end of your time. I'm not talking about you growing old and, you know, dying of natural causes. I'm talking about when death occurs, are you prepared at that point in time? So are we? And that should give us a sense of urgency, a sense of serving and building a togetherness with each other. Take advantage of these meetings, and it's so nice to see everyone out there on God's Sabbath day. And for those areas that we're visiting for the feast, to be able to see our brothers and sisters from other areas. But that sense of urgency is very important to us. In Hebrews chapter 13, part of our urgency should be, again, from a daily perspective. Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. This, again, is a daily need for us to continue to grow and to stay close to God. Because Satan would love for us to be mired down in our troubles, in things that are being broadcast around us. Satan is constantly lobbing things at us. But we must vividly remember who's in charge of our life. That's God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and why we're here, and that vision of the coming kingdom of God. As Mr. Semino was talking about the different churches, we take heed, we take those words to heart. We are in this battle together, the spiritual battle. Christ acknowledged that there would be times that we would have difficulties and problems. We understand that. We've experienced that, and we're probably continually experiencing it even today. That things would not always go well for us, but it's a learning process. It's something that we need to grow and overcome. Because God's made us a promise, and those promises are not broken. They will stand. What He has promised will come true. And we need to recognize, and we need to acknowledge our total dependence upon the Lord and seeking His will for every decision. Again, don't let Satan bring you down. Let's stay close to God. In Matthew chapter 11, Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Through 30. Christ speaking, saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I mean, who among us out there doesn't feel at times that there's just so much weight being carried on our shoulders? Christ says, come to Him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's there for us to be taking advantage of that, utilizing that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, God's giving us the answer. God shows us, God provides for us how we should live and how we should accomplish and overcome. We just need to listen, learn, and apply it. 2 Corinthians, it would help if I was in seconds, not first. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Again, God referring to us as children. The great God of the universe, our Father, wants that father, son, and daughter relationship. And we should never forget the excitement of our calling, of that purpose of being called now. The opportunity that we will have to help one another and others in the future. This is one of the greatest opportunities that we can look forward to. That promise from God. And God has called us to be a part of that. And we are so thankful for that. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And for us to be a son and daughter of God, we need to have that love. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God has expressed his love to us. He gave his only begotten Son. And we should never for one minute be too busy to express our love to God or let mundane things get in our way or interfere. And that's why we need to stay humble in all things, to continue building that in our life, to progress forward, to be acceptable to God. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, Paul speaking here, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, speaking of Jesus Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As Mr. Wendt was talking about that article, where they're going to be if a law is passed, they would monitor things that are being said in the churches, or even monitoring the Bible, basically censoring for saying it's hate speech, possibly jail time, whatever it may be. Do you think it would eventually come to death? Possibly. Who knows? We know that God has told us during the Great Tribulation, that Satan will be attacking, as he's attacking now, but more fiercely. So that's just a prelude. What more? My mind cannot fathom that. What more is Satan going to stir up in mankind to really battle, to try to end God's plan? But we know God is much greater than Satan. And God wins. Satan loses. And God continues to grant us understanding, but we have to be very vigilant of staying informed, of staying in God's Word, of learning. And the more we read and study, the deeper it gets. God will continue to open that. That's the amazing thing about God's Scriptures and His Word. And we all know, we've experienced it, we study it all of our life up to this point. Have we fully comprehended what God has for us to know? I know I haven't. I have a long way to go. But he will continue to reveal that when he knows it's time for us to know that information. For there's always room for growth in God's understanding God's Word. And especially there's a lot of room for growth in being humble before God and our brothers and sisters and mankind. But we need to be that example. We need to be building that within ourselves, as well as we should be constantly studying and seeking that understanding from God. It's a choice, and we really need to make that choice of having that, of having that humble attitude, teachable, of being teachable and placing our every need and want with our Heavenly Father and Elder Brother. We really need to be getting closer to that time and that part of our life. Come to that point in our life of having enough of this world. You've heard sighing and crying, that terminology, for the abominations. We see them, we hear about them. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Here we read where the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Because of verse 5, it says, those that did not receive the mark, he sent others to go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have pity. So you read these scriptures and you ask yourself, where would I stand in that scenario? Where would I be? My life as of today, would I have received the mark of sighing and crying for the abominations, as we think today, that are being done in the midst of us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, along with sighing and crying, do we groan within ourselves? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We are the temple of God. We have God's Spirit within us. Verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, that eternal life, the immortal life. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That future that God has for us of being resurrected. So what is our goal moving forward? Do we have a plan that's really realistic? Do we even think about it? Is it part of our life, our thoughts? Do we sigh and cry? Do we groan? Do we look to God for answers? Well, if we have God centered in our life, in our goals, in our plans, then be assured that you will succeed. You will endure till the end. But we have to strive for that. For my final verse, if you would, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 25 and 26. In Galatians 5, we read about the fruits of the Spirit, starting in verse 22 through 23. But I wanted to go to verses 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. We have God's Holy Spirit. We live it. Let's walk it. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Let's don't be puffed up with pride. Let's have that meekness. Let's have that humility, that humble attitude. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's work together as a family. Let us work to make humility a part of our being, to serve others, to serve you, to serve others, our neighbors, whomever it may be, to pray for one another, to listen intently to others. So ask yourself, well, do I talk more than I listen? Think about it. Something to think about. To listen intently to others, to share with them what they're telling you so that you can pray for them if need be, and to volunteer where needed. The holy days are coming up, and I'm sure there are plenty of areas for volunteers. Humility is needed today. It's needed with us every day of our life. And let's make this a part of our fall holy day seasons, as well as each and every day. There are all these fruits of the Spirit there. I just chose one dealing with humility. Some would call it meekness. Let's work on it. Let's achieve it. And by achieving that and staying with God's word and enduring to the end, we will be there together, serving, being a very part of God's family. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.